Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news, House lawmakers approve a bill that would ban TikTok in the U.S. We have a look at why some want this, why others don't, and the option for a compromise.
Plus, we are watching for the verdict for the man accused of killing his wife in their Raleigh apartment. What the jury asked to see in the Eric Hernandez-Mendez case just a short time ago.
And red light cameras are coming down in Raleigh. We'll look at some of the data driving that decision. Jury deliberations resumed this morning in the murder trial of Eric Hernandez-Mendez. About an hour ago, the jury asked to see several items, including text messages. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Chris Levengood, in for Jeff Hogan. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a team standing by to bring you the verdict when it comes down. And WREL's Ken Smith is in the WREL studio with what happened this morning, Ken.
Chris and Renee, this jury is clearly focused on the evidence presented in this case against Eric Hernandez-Mendez. He is charged with murdering his new wife, 20-year-old NC State student Christina Matos. The jury already deliberated about 30 minutes after closing arguments yesterday. Now, I mentioned the evidence. Take a look at what happened about 45 minutes before we came on the air. On this table are all the items the jury requested to see again, including a knife, pictures of the bedroom where the murder happened, and other items. The jury also requested to hear again certain parts of Hernandez-Mendez's interview with Raleigh police. Christina Matos was stabbed 16 times 3 years ago inside the Hillsborough Street apartment she shared with Hernandez-Mendez and Kaylee Lynch Ferracano. She was charged last year with accessory after the fact and obstruction of justice. Now, during the trial, Hernandez-Mendez blamed Ferracano for the murder. Now, the jury must come to a unanimous verdict of guilty or not guilty. If convicted, Hernandez-Mendez faces life in prison without the possibility of parole. Again, we have a crew inside the courtroom awaiting that verdict. As soon as it happens, we'll bring it to you.
All right. Thank you, Ken.
And breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, the House passed a bill that would lead to a TikTok ban in the U.S. if the China-based company ByteDance does not sell. The bill passed today 352-65. It now goes to the Senate, where its prospects are unclear. Now, lawmakers have expressed concerns that the company poses a national security threat. TikTok has long denied it could be used as a tool of the Chinese government. The company said it has never shared U.S. data, and it never would. The Senate does need to pass the measure for it to become law. President Joe Biden has said that if Congress passes the measure, he will sign it. Michelle, thanks. The cameras that have been catching red light runners at dozens of intersections in Raleigh for the last two decades are coming down. The city is getting rid of its red light cameras over the next few weeks. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live in downtown Raleigh with why this is happening. Matt.
Well, Renee, the city's already started taking down these cameras. We're here at the intersection of Dawson and Morgan here right in downtown, right by the Pendo building. This is one of 25 intersections that had those red light cameras, but I want to show you right here. That's all that's left of them. This metal pole, this is where one of those sensors used to be, and there was another pole further up there that had the cameras on them, but they've already started taking them down. We've gone to several intersections here in downtown and noticed those cameras are gone. That's because the city is not renewing its contract with the company that operates the Safe Light program when it ends April 8th. Ahead of that, a new message posted on the Safe Light webpage actually says the city is no longer accepting payments for any outstanding citations and that all unpaid citations at this point are being tossed out. Now, the most tickets Raleigh's Safe Light program gave out in a year was right around 30,000. The city tells me that number has actually dropped off, as has the number of tickets actually paid in recent years. So we talked to one Raleigh driver who got one of those red light tickets with the photo in the mail. He says he is glad to see the red light cameras go.
If they're going away, I think it's nice that they are. I think it's a little bit of a Big Brother kind of situation where you're just being monitored. I don't really think that they decrease traffic violations. I think they just, make it probably easier to ticket people.
Now, most of the other cities in North Carolina that had these red light cameras have gotten rid of them already. That's because of lawsuits that some of those cities faced over those. Here in Raleigh, the city is now taking a look at what to do with these 25 intersections to make sure that they are safe, that you don't see more people running red lights. So some of the things that they're looking at doing are actually to improve the lights themselves and put some of high visibility back plates, they're called. So those would be right behind the lights to make the lights themselves pop and stand out more.
And now that there's no deterrent, we certainly still encourage good, respectful driving behavior. Matt Tallhelm, live with why red light cameras are coming down.
There's a shooting that WRL has been following in Durham. It's one that injured a 16-year-old and a 5-year-old. It happened yesterday afternoon on Dearborn Drive. WRL's Monica Casey has been staying on top of the story.
Durham police data from last Saturday shows that three people under the age of 18 had been shot so far this year. With yesterday's shooting, we now know at least five people under the age of 18 have been shot in Durham in 2024. That shooting happened at the Oxford Manor community. That's a Durham Housing Authority property just north of downtown. The 5-year-old girl and 16-year-old boy had non-life-threatening injuries. People who live there tell us violence often happens in that neighborhood.
It's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? It is, man. You know what I'm saying? How Bradtown is. I thought Bradtown was good. You know what I'm saying? Because I just came out here about a month ago. You know what I'm saying? And I seen this right here. It's, you know, same.
Investigators were on scene for hours yesterday afternoon, marking multiple shell casings up and down Dearborn Drive. Police say the bullets came from a passing vehicle, meaning this is being investigated as a drive-by shooting. As of now, no arrests have been made. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRL News.
And those two children in Durham are expected to survive their injuries. The issue, though, of why kids are dying from guns in North Carolina is the subject of a new WRL documentary that debuts tonight. More than 600 kids have died from guns in our state since 2017, according to the Division of Juvenile Justice. WRL's investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance learned unsecured firearms are a big problem. There are at least 1.7 million homes in North Carolina with guns. More than half of those homeowners say they have a gun that's not safely stored. The Dockery family from Fayetteville is featured in tonight's documentary. 8-year-old Genesis Dockery was shot at her babysitter's house by the babysitter's 11-year-old son.
I am not anti-gun by far. However, if this gun is where it should be at, secured in a safe, we're not sitting here today.
Tonight's documentary will also explore a solution being pushed by lawmakers and advocates that could save lives. You can watch Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence at 7:30 tonight on WRL and on WRLDoc.com.
WRL is following breaking news at this hour. A judge in Georgia dismissed six of the election interference charges against former President Donald Trump and some of his co-defendants. However, he left most of the 41-count racketeering indictment intact. That judge threw out the solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer charge. Prosecutors say the defendants pressured members of the Georgia legislature to unlawfully appoint presidential electors. They also accused Trump and ex-White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows of asking the Secretary of State to, quote, find the votes so Trump could win Georgia. Now, this comes as the same judge is set to rule on ethics allegations against Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis. Before, the judge said he would take at least 2 weeks to decide if Willis will be disqualified to handle that case. Trump and his remaining co-defendants accuse her of having a financially beneficial romantic relationship with special prosecutor Nathan Wade.
What polls show the majority of American voters did not want to happen is now official. The Biden-Trump rematch is set for November's presidential election. Former President Donald Trump secured the Republican nomination for president after yesterday's primaries. President Joe Biden secured the Democratic nomination. Trump received enough delegates to seal the nomination without ever stepping onto a debate stage. After getting the nomination, Trump told his supporters, quote, now we have to get back to work because we have the worst president in the history of our country, end quote. President Biden said he's honored to once again lead the party, quote, in a moment when the threat Trump poses is greater than ever. This afternoon, we'll have the latest results from our exclusive WRAL News poll. We've asked hundreds of people across the state which issues are most important to them when they vote in November. Find out what topped the list and how those topics will impact WRAL's election coverage in the months ahead.
UNC Health has signed a new long-term agreement with Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina. The company is the state's largest health insurer. That deal provides stability and peace of mind for patients across North Carolina. It's also in contrast to UNC Health's looming out-of-network situation with United. That contract expires April 1st.
Russian President Vladimir Putin says his country is ready with nuclear weapons if its sovereignty is threatened. We'll look at why the timing of his message is so important.
And because Boeing's had mechanical issues, the companies it supplies aircraft to are feeling the effects. A look at how the issues are affecting the hiring process.
Plus, get your fruit, your household items, and now your driver's license renewed at the grocery store. We'll show you the new DMV kiosks now available in select North Carolina stores.
And it's a warm day today, but tomorrow temperatures could run 15 to 25 degrees above normal. I'll show you how close we'll get to some record highs coming up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.
Today, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that his country is ready for nuclear war if it came to it. It's his latest warning to the West ahead of an election. Putin said that Russia boasts a more modern nuclear arsenal than anyone else and that the West is working on modernizing its own. But he said this doesn't mean the world is heading for nuclear war. He even suggested President Joe Biden's experience ensures that he understands the potential dangers of escalation. Putin's comments come during a week in which the Pentagon announced it will rush roughly $300 million in weapons to Ukraine.
Boeing's slew of recent mechanical problems is having a ripple effect. Now, Southwest Airlines says it plans to hire fewer people in 2024 because Boeing is expected to deliver far fewer planes due to safety concerns. From a flight from Sydney to San Francisco that leaked fluid upon takeoff to who can forget the door plug that came off an Alaska Airlines flight. John Lawrence reports all of these issues could have a huge impact within the travel industry.
2024 has not been kind to Boeing thus far, and that trend isn't likely to change anytime soon.
I think Boeing's in for a long, hard year.
On Monday, according to a passenger, a 787 Dreamliner heading from Australia to New Zealand abruptly dropped hundreds of feet mid-flight in what LATAM Airlines called a technical event.
And I opened my eyes and there was various individuals at the top of the plane, just stuck to the roof, and then they fell to the floor.
Last month, a United Airlines 737 MAX reported jammed flight controls during a landing in New Jersey. And in another case, the FAA found issues with de-icing equipment for some Boeing planes.
That they have fallen to this level is really quite distressing.
The NTSB is also looking into the January 5th Alaska Airlines flight where part of a 737 MAX door plug blew off the side of the plane shortly after takeoff. Alaska Airlines says the plane in question was due for maintenance on the same day of the incident. The FAA says it's given Boeing until May to come up with a plan to fix issues listed in a federal audit. Analysts say these problems could end up costing Boeing billions.
It is indeed. It's an unmitigated disaster for Boeing.
That was John Lawrence reporting. A United spokesperson says each incident will be investigated individually along with federal regulators. The statement reads in part, each of these events is distinct and unrelated to one another. Safety is our top priority, and we'll continue to do everything we can to keep our customers and employees safe.
A new survey is ranking the best airports in North America, and some of the rankings just may surprise you. LaGuardia Airport is now ranked one of the best mid-sized airports in North America. That category includes travel hubs that serve between 25 to 40 million passengers a year. LaGuardia's jump is thanks to 5 years of work and billions of dollars of investment. Frontier Airlines is offering a new seating options to give some passengers extra space and comfort. The airline is launching UpFront Plus tickets, but it's only available for the first two rows on the plane. By booking the Upfront Plus option, passengers will be able to enjoy window or aisle seats with extra legroom and a guaranteed empty middle seat. The new seating option is now one of the fourth upgrades that the budget airline is offering.
Someone in North Carolina is now a new millionaire. That ticket matched all five white balls in last night's Mega Millions drawing, but missed the mega ball. The jackpot is rising once again because no one hit all of the winning numbers last night. Here are those numbers: 2, 16, 31, 57, 64, 24, and the megaplier is 3. The jackpot for Friday night's drawing is now $792 million. The Powerball jackpot is also impressive with $559 million. That's a cash value of more than $273 million. You can watch tonight's drawing at 11 right here on WRAL.
All right, we're going to get you on your weather forecast with meteorologist Amy Wilmoth, but I got to say, I always try to get like a little bit of an early forecast from her, like I did to get my weekend plans going, but I guess you can give people their forecast all together now.
Yes, we'll give everybody the forecast now. It's always nice to give good news, and we have beautiful weather today, and that is going to continue through the day on Thursday and really most of Friday as well. A look at some of our cameras on the Live Cam Network. We have sunshine in Fayetteville, a blue sky here at the station here in Raleigh. Check out the blue sky at Chapel Hill. That view comes to you from Top of the Hill Restaurant, and we also have mostly sunny skies in Durham right now. Temperatures are warming up. We're at 65 now in Raleigh and Durham. Feels very nice outside. 70 in South Hill, Virginia. 67 the current temperature in Fayetteville. We're expecting upper 70s for most today. 78 in Raleigh, 76 the high in Durham, and 79 for the high temperature in Fayetteville. Outdoor practices, it will be lovely for those this evening, or maybe you're taking the dog out for a walk, doing some outdoor exercise. We'll be in the 70s through 6 p.m., upper 60s at 7 o'clock, and then mid-60s by 8 p.m. And then tonight, we'll get down into the 40s again, so it's still chilly, but not really cold. 46 in Durham, 47 in Raleigh, and 48 for the low temperature in Fayetteville. And then look at tomorrow. We'll have sunshine and 80s. This could be the first time we hit 80 degrees so far this year at RDU. 80 the forecast in Durham tomorrow, 81 in Raleigh, and 82 for the high temperature in Fayetteville. It is a warm pattern that we have. High pressure is settled to the south and east of us. Winds flow clockwise around high pressure systems, so that's bringing in a southwesterly flow, really warming things up in the days ahead. But if you look to the west of us, that's a cold front, a frontal system that's headed in our direction that's going to start to impact us on Friday. But the next couple of days, things are nice and quiet. And this is really a worst case scenario model. Some of the other models are drier compared to this one, but I thought I'd go ahead and show you the worst case scenario for Friday evening. Some scattered showers, maybe an isolated storm. Some models keep us fairly dry though Friday evening. So keep that in mind. We have the potential for some rain. There's not a ton of moisture with this system, and I'll have more on how much rain we could get coming up in the next half hour. 10 p.m., still a few showers, especially in our southern counties. And then the good news is, if you have outdoor plans for Saturday, things look really good across the entire state. We should stay dry. Heading into Sunday, things are trending drier Sunday as well. We still have the rain icon on the 7-day because we expect some rain in our southern counties. But the triangle points to the north should stay dry on Sunday, too. Overall, not a bad weekend forecast. Beautiful for the next few days, especially if you enjoy warmer temperatures. We'll be in the low 80s Thursday. Thursday and Friday. A stray shower or storm possible during the evening on Friday, but it shouldn't be widespread. And then Saturday looking good. Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, some rain in our southern counties. And then look at the temperature turnaround. Upper 60s Monday, highs back in the 50s on Tuesday.
I like how she said, if you enjoy warm temperatures.
Not everybody does.
I love
no doubt here. But definitely a temperature roller coaster. Amy, thank you. If you have trouble sleeping, you're in good company. One in three adults does not get the recommended amount of sleep. The remedy could be in your diet. Five on Your Side shares what to eat for better sleep at 4.
Then at 6 o'clock, we continue to share the results from our exclusive WREL News poll. See how the most talked about issues stacked up to voters.
And is your car snitching on you? The new study that suggests certain vehicles could be sharing information with your insurance company without you knowing.
Welcome back. There's a decent rally going on. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 178 points after U.S. inflation data came in about in line with expectations for the month of February. The Fed will meet next week. Weekly mortgage demand jumped for a second straight week as interest rates continue to fall. Mortgage applications rose by 7% compared to the previous week. And the average contract interest rate for 30-year fixed-rate mortgages decreased from 7.02% to 6.84%. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home are also up by 5% as home buyers face sky-high home prices and a lean supply of houses for sale.
The fast food industry is shifting its model to keep up with customers and their evolving habits. Chick-fil-A is among the chains making this transition. It's looking to make fast food even faster. This is video you're seeing from the first of its kind grab-and-go restaurant in New York City. There are no menu boards, there is no cash registers, and no dining room. So take a look at how it works.
Here's how it works when the restaurant opens next week. You place your order on the mobile app ahead of time, and then you come into the restaurant, the space just 400 square feet, and you'll come over to this board. You're watching for your name to move from preparing up to ready. When you see your name and ready, you'll come to the front desk and tell the worker your name. Order for Emily.
Welcome to Chick-fil-A, Emily.
He's gonna grab your order for you, hand it off.
This is your order.
Thank you so much.
That was reporter Emily Aketa there kind of showing you how it works. Nationwide, roughly 50% of Chick-fil-A transactions are mobile orders. Across the fast food industry, dining in has plummeted 47% since 2019.
Family Dollar and Dollar Tree are set to close nearly 1,000 stores this year. Family Dollar will close 600 stores in the first half of this year and close 400 more over the next several years as store leases expire. Many Family Dollar stores have been plagued by health and safety concerns. This year, the struggling discount chain was hit with a record $41.5 million fine for violating product safety standards. The Justice Department said the chain was selling items that were stocked in a rat-infested warehouse. Is your car selling you out to your insurance company? Some drivers say they've noticed their insurance rates skyrocketing after their companies sent data about their driving habits to issuers without them knowing. The price hikes appear to have happened after computerized systems were installed in their vehicles. Incidents of hard braking, sharp accelerations, and speeding were also said to be noted and then sold to the insurance companies. The issue is currently being investigated.
Can't even trust your car. How about that? You can now renew your driver's license and do other DMV visits at the grocery store. We are going to show you how the state is trying to cut down on long wait times with a pilot program.
Plus, we'll explain why some researchers say data on the skyrocketing death rates among mothers may not be so accurate. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The state says speed was a factor in a deadly crash in Cumberland County. It happened just after 11 p.m. near the intersection of Camden Road and Natal Street, just outside Fayetteville. State Highway Patrol says the driver of a yellow Dodge Charger hit a Kia, causing it to flip onto its roof. The driver of the Kia was killed. Troopers say the driver of the Charger was also impaired. Here in Wake County, two people were injured in a crash on NC-98 in Wake Forest. It happened near Fleming House Street around 6:30. This is video from Sky 5. Officials tell us two people were hurt in the crash. They were taken to the hospital and are expected to recover.
A family of six is displaced after an early morning fire at a home in North Raleigh. This happened on Carnes Place, just east of Falls of Neuse Road and I-540. WREL's Kelsey Coffey was there as crew members were putting out the flames.
This is the aftermath of the home that caught fire earlier this morning. You can see crews have placed caution tape around the front yard. Sky 5 flew over the neighborhood earlier this morning. You can see most of the damage is on the collapsed roof. This is video of the flames engulfing the home just around 3:30 this morning. I spoke with fire officials at the scene. They say fire broke out at two homes. One had fire through the roof, which you can see on your screen. The other had a smaller fire on the side of the house. I also spoke with the homeowner. She says everyone is okay. We're still working to find out what started this fire. The cause is still under investigation. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Kids are suffering because of guns in North Carolina. Our new WRL documentary looks into why. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance produced and hosted the documentary. It's called Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence. And you can watch that documentary tonight at 7:30 on WRL or on WRLdoc.com. And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, we're following reports of a gas leak in Raleigh. Sky 5 is live over that scene right now. This is happening on Roundstone Drive in Raleigh. Dominion Energy, we spoke with them. They did confirm that they have a damaged gas line in that area. Looks like a residential area here. They do have crews on scene. You can see their trucks there. They say they are working to get this fixed as soon as possible. Michelle, thanks. You can now renew your driver's license and conduct other DMV business at the grocery store.
The new self-serve DMV kiosks are now available at three Harris Teeter stores in Raleigh, Fayetteville, and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. WRL's Julian Grace is live at one of those locations. And Julian, that's the Briar Creek Harris Teeter off of 70.
Yes, Chris, you're absolutely right. And let me tell you this also. Shoppers love the idea of loading up their carts with groceries and then renewing their tags and driver's license. So the big question is, how exactly does this work? Let's show you this video that we shot earlier. We watched as workers with NCDMV demonstrated how to use the kiosk. It took 3 minutes for a man to receive a duplicate ID. The kiosk allows residents to renew their driver's license or state ID, print a temporary ID certificate, and get their tags. Now, WRL's Five on Your Side has documented for years long waits for DMV services. To decrease wait times, NCDMV has filled 250 open positions, modified wait times, and will now add a kiosk to decrease time. We found shoppers today are eager to try it.
Will you use it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would encourage my friends that I know that are about to renew their license or get a license, whatever, I'd encourage them to try it out.
If I heard that it was reliable, you know, that you could actually go in and do what you wanted to do, so I don't need to be more frustrated.
Will it be reliable? That is a great question. Also, there's another question on the floor. When will we get more? Well, we're told, Chris, that the DMV will add 20 more kiosks later this year. Now, I tried to get the exact location on where. They weren't ready to give that up just yet.
I know it's a pilot program, but a lot of people would find that really convenient. Julian Grace reporting live. Thanks, Julian.
I would have to think the lines are shorter, too.
I would imagine so. Data can be helpful, but it can also be misleading. Why researchers are questioning whether women dying from pregnancy complications in this country is as severe as the numbers appear.
Plus, if your son or daughter is planning to take the SAT or ACT, beware of a scam that promises to get them ready for the test. We'll explain how it works so you don't fall for it. And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app. Each year, hundreds of American women die from complications related to pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum. But some researchers say the numbers related to pregnancy may not be as bad as first thought. For years, they've been collecting data by looking at the pregnancy checkbox on death certificates. It indicates whether a deceased woman was pregnant at or around her time of death. Researchers say this does not indicate whether the pregnancy had anything to do with her death. Therefore, maternal death rates in the U.S. may actually be lower than federal data suggests. A California lawmaker wants to ban schools from serving foods with synthetic food dyes that have been linked to cancer, hyperactivity, and behavioral issues in children. The bill is considered to be the first in the nation. It would prohibit public schools from serving foods with six synthetic food dyes that can be found in foods like candy, ice cream, cereal, baked goods, flavored milks, and more.
So people use smartwatches for many reasons, tracking your steps or your sleep habits, but it turns out the watches could also be instrumental in reducing the spread of respiratory illnesses. Duke Health is studying whether a watch can know if you are sick before you even know. Researchers have reached out to more than 350,000 Duke Health patients. These are people who were tested for either COVID, the flu, or RSV between 2018 and last year. Scientists are analyzing the data recorded by the participants' smartwatches during the time they were infected.
The goal is to try to build a tool that can detect early signs of infection before a person might even have any symptoms of being sick. So the idea would be that you could prevent somebody from going out and spreading infection.
The data includes factors such as heart rate, movement, sleep, temperature, and oxygen levels. Researchers say they think the study in total could take about 2 years to complete.
The New York Times is cracking down on lookalikes ahead of a major milestone. Why imitation is not always the sincerest form of flattery. Plus,
this is just one more thing in this incredibly pressure-packed environment.
It's a warning that bears repeating. Never give out sensitive information to companies that contact you. How some scammers are using your children to steal your cash.
People living with neurological and developmental disorders such as autism face challenges if in prison. They can't access materials and services they need during rehabilitation. Marianne Rafferty takes a closer look that one facility is trying to change how inmates are being treated.
Life behind bars isn't designed to be easy, but it can be even harder on inmates with autism, a neurological and developmental disorder impacting people's ability to communicate and handle social interactions.
We started to realize that there was a need to serve this population in the Department of Corrections.
While research doesn't show a link between people on the autism spectrum and committing of crimes, data cited in a National Institutes of Health report reveals people with autism are 7 times more likely to have run-ins with the law than those without the disorder.
We had gotten fairly good at managing all sorts of mental health disorders here, but we were lacking in autism.
For people with autism who are convicted of a crime and sentenced to jail, all the noises, smells, lighting, and fellow inmates can be overwhelming and negatively impact their rehabilitation process.
We have guys, they would normally have kind of gotten through their incarceration just quietly. Maybe they would have been recluse.
To try and offer treatment, the Albion State Correctional Institution in Pennsylvania became one of the only prisons in the country to open a unit for inmates with autism.
It's not like general population where I would be more prone to being bullied.
The unit features a sensory cell when inmates are overwhelmed, counseling sessions, puzzles, fidget toys, covers to dim fluorescent lighting, and more.
They develop that independence and the social skills they need to survive when they get out of here.
That was Marianne Rafferty reporting. Leaders at that prison hope that their work will help prevent inmates from winding back in jail after the release.
The Better Business Bureau is warning parents to be on alert for an old scam that's making the rounds again. It involves a person claiming to be from the College Board, the company responsible for.
As we wrap things up, here is a look at a few of the headlines that we're following today.
The jury is deliberating right now in the trial of 20 of Eric Hernandez Mendez, who is charged with murdering his new wife, a 20-year-old NC State student. Christina Matos was stabbed to death 3 years ago inside the couple's Hillsborough Street apartment. Their roommate, Kaylee Lynch Fercano, is also charged in the case. Hernandez Mendez faces life in prison if convicted.
Police are trying to track down the person who shot a teenager and a 5-year-old in Durham. We first brought you this breaking news story on WREL News at 4 o'clock yesterday. It happened at Oxford Manor, a Durham Housing Authority complex just north of downtown. The 5-year-old girl and 16-year-old boy had non-life-threatening issues.
Starting today, new self-serve DMV kiosks will be available at 3 Harris Teeter stores in the state, including Raleigh and Fayetteville. You'll be able to renew your driver's license, register to vote, and more. The DMV hopes to launch more of these kiosks across the state soon.
Not only is 4-time Grammy Award-winning singer Lenny Kravitz a superstar, now he has his own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Kravitz's daughter, Zoe Kravitz, and her fiancé, Tatum Channing, were on hand for the special event. Also in attendance, Denzel Washington, who joked that they are twins who just don't look alike. Washington praised Kravitz, calling the musician more than a friend and more than a brother. The star is located in front of the Capitol Records Tower. Pretty cool. And the secret is out. Beyonce is revealing the name of her new album. It's called Cowboy Carter. She shared this photo on her social media account, giving fans the chance to pre-order it, and they can buy merchandise as well. This comes just over a month since she released two singles, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, during the Super Bowl. The album is expected to be released on March 29th.
Can't wait. The New York Times is cracking down on copycats of its popular word-finding game. The newspaper company is filing copyright takedown notices to games that are similar to Wordle. The New York Times bought the rights to the game in 2022 after it went viral. The Times says other word games are okay as long as they do not infringe on its trademarks and copyrighted gameplay. The first milkshake factory in North Carolina is coming to the Triangle. Its newest store will open at the American Tobacco Campus in Durham. The milkshake factory is known for its house-made ice cream, hand-spun milkshakes, and premium chocolate. A grand opening is expected to happen this summer.
Our pet of the day from Cat Angels Pet Adoptions is a super friendly buddy. They're an easygoing fella who loves to play and cuddle with humans. Meet Newton. He is well-behaved and loves to be picked up and pet. Newton's passions include playing with shadows and ribbons, eating tuna, and napping on a comfy blanket. This handsome boy can be around other cats, and while he does love people, he prefers adults because children can scare him. If you're interested in welcoming Newton into your family, just fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
All right, we're following some breaking news. We are hearing that the jury in the Eric Hernandez-Mendez trial is returning to the courtroom. This is our camera inside the courtroom right now to give you a live look. We are awaiting that verdict. We're told the family of the victim, Christina Matos, is there in the courtroom. We've been following this trial for you for days now, and the jury has been deliberating, and that jury is returning there into the courtroom. So be sure to stay with WREL. We will certainly let you know what happens.
Well, and one thing about that case is that Hernandez-Mendez, one of the things he was saying was that he did admit in court, yes, he did lie when the detectives were first on this investigation, but he kind of verifies a little more, saying that he was afraid because the roommate in this case, she, as he is saying, threatened to harm his family. He is actually pointing the finger at her in this case. This is someone that he and his wife of only 5 days were rooming with for a while. So the particulars with that story, as you keep watching it, yes, it could be a little hard to follow, but that is why WREL's Chelsea Donovan has been looking into that. That's why Ken Smith has been coming in, because if you notice, we don't have Chelsea on air doing it. That's because she is inside the courtroom getting this information. Now, in terms of what his role is in this case, in terms of Eric Hernandez-Mendez, he is saying that he did not kill his wife for 5 days. He is saying that he only helped clean up after the roommate, again, he's pointing the finger to that person, saying that they are the ones who actually did this and he helped clean up the crime scene. So,
and it's been said in court that, you know, they married out of almost a marriage of convenience, if you will, that that she agreed to marry him so that he could qualify for a visa. So that was so only 5 days, and then she was found stabbed to death there in her apartment. So a lot of questions, of course.
A lot of questions. Go to WREL.com to follow that story as it continues to develop.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.